When you want to feel plugged into the community, keep it on Kello. News Talk 1320, 107.9 and Kello.com.
I'm Bill Zortman, and this is It's Your Business. It's show 576 in our original It's Your Business series. This hour, you're going to meet one of the service clubs that says, we're not dying, and they're fighting to make a difference. In fact, I got a call saying from the Sertoma people yesterday, you gave us the license to change, and we had a vote today, and we're changing. They're going to tell us how they're changing. Interesting to see what they will do. Again, what's happening? More lead groups, more YPN, less service club. But the question is, if there weren't service club, what would the projects be like helping the community? Our first segment, medicine. Marvin Smoot, Plastic Surgery Associates of South Dakota and
Spencer, Iowa.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to talk with Sherry Kramer, pharmacy specialty, just a bit later on. She's got a trip to Las Vegas. You know, I can't believe that. Yeah. And she knows everybody in the room today. And I cannot believe all the connections and what a small community we have. Marvin, I told you a few weeks ago that my annual physical had produced a cancer on my right ear. And you, as part of the Plastic Surgery Associates, understand that skin cancer and the importance of preventive maintenance, well, it's something we wanted to talk about today.
Well, I think it's a great thing to talk about because when we can prevent these things from happening when we use appropriate coverage, whether it be hats, whether it be SPF 30 and above sunblocks, you know, we need to look out for each other. You know, we've gotten very good at getting our kids lathered up. I see kids all the time. You see them bringing sunblock to school. You see them bringing sunblock to the daycare centers. But a lot of times we're remiss to treating ourselves in the same way that we treat our kids. So just to have this opportunity to talk to you about treating ourselves again, making sure we talk about those high-risk areas, especially in a state that has so much sun like South Dakota, I appreciate it, Bill.
Well, the surgeon involved I had never met, Dr. David Shields. We could see eye to eye. In fact, to have a surgeon that's just a little smaller than I am, really, I think Sanford was looking out for me, but the Sanford Clinic Dermatology. I propose to both you, Marvin, and to Dr. Shields that we come on the show together so we could talk about what the findings were 24 hours after the surgery, and hopefully by our discussion, encourage those in our audience to look and take precautions. Dr. Shields is in the Tally Building. At this time yesterday morning, he was in the middle of the procedure. He's here to talk with us about what he did, what he found. And Dr. Shields, I'm happy to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me on. This is the first time I've ever been in a radio station, so it's an interesting experience. I want to ask you a question, Bill, because I can't remember. How did you first notice this, or did you notice it? Did you know that it was there?
For a year and a half, there was a little hair follicle that kept bothering me, and I would pick it, and then it would flame up in the middle of the year.
It just wouldn't go away, right?
And my wife kept reminding me, are you going to do something about that ear? You know, we're both married to nurses.
Right.
And nurses do not let that go. Marvin has actually had my wife as a nurse, and he knows that she pays attention to detail. But she kept on me. I went to see Troy Overbeek, who is my PA, Julie Bostic out in the Sanford Clinic in Hartford as well. And they said, let's keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes me a little longer to get back to doctors. You know, they want me to see them every 6 months. This one is maybe a year and a half. And they were looking during the physical, and they said, how's that doing? I said, I think we ought to check it. So at that point, year and a half after it showed up, they did the little test. They said, this may be a little sting. And what I found yesterday, Marvin, you can appreciate this. With the PA Overbeek, with Dr. Shields, never felt a thing in the numbing process, which surprised me. When I told my mom that, she said, you remember when you knocked the needles out of nurses' hands when you were growing up in Iowa? I said, yeah. They said, well, how did you handle this? I said, they put a cover over my eye, and I'm numbed up. And she said, we should have done that years ago. But I was very comfortable with it. You made me feel very comfortable. And it was a situation where just the C word scares you.
Right.
But we should all be concerned. And last week, you were on either Wednesday or Friday with me, and we talked with some of the people at the Sioux Empire Fair about the outdoor activity in South Dakota, all of those that are in agriculture, all those that are involved. And quite frankly, I've been kind of stupid. You know, I haven't worn a hat, didn't think I needed to, didn't put on any sunscreen of any kind, didn't wear sunglasses, which my wife reminds me that three more things that I should have done that I didn't. You're laughing, Dr. Shields, but you can identify.
I'm the same way. I mean, I used to ride around on a tractor trying to get a tan, and look how dark I am. You know, it didn't work. And, you know, they didn't really say anything in our era about the sun other than not getting a sunburn.
All right, so let's go to what kind of procedure we did and what you did find.
We did a procedure called Mohs surgery. It's named after Fred Mohs, M-O-H-S. And he developed this procedure a long time ago. It's not highly technical. It's really based on a simple idea, that basal cells and squamous cells, the two common types of skin cancer, spread by direct extension. Sort of like if you took a honey and poured it on a linoleum floor, it would slowly spread out. It wouldn't jump like if you spilled milk, it would splatter all over. But these don't travel. They just move sort of slowly through the skin. And so Dr. Mohs got the idea that, well, if we could just get a margin around that, the first clear margin, then we'll know we have that cancer out of there. So he developed this procedure, and it's he started working on that sometime in the early 30s, I believe. And I think he was a general surgeon, if I'm not correct. He was actually alive during my era of training. He's since passed away. But it's a way of removing the cancer and making sure the margins are clear, and taking the least amount of tissue necessary. So it's used primarily in places like the nose, which is a common place for basal cell cancer, and the ears, where we don't have a lot of extra skin and the structure is difficult to reconstruct, and other places on the face. You know, there are lots of ways to treat basal cell and squamous cell skin cancer. For example, on the trunk, they can oftentimes just be destroyed, and it leaves a small white scar, and it's a simple, quick procedure. Or they can be excised and then sent away for histologic check. They check the margins in a somewhat different way, but it takes longer. So what we did is we numbed up your ear, and after I'd drawn where the spot was, and I scraped it off because it's mushy like a rotten melon. And then once we got down to the firm tissue, then we take about a millimeter margin around it. It's kind of like half of a rubber ball. And then we stopped the bleeding, put a bandage on there, and made you wait, which we're really good at. And we went, we learned that in med school, you know.
Thanks a lot. Sherry can identify with that as well.
Then we go back to the lab and make a microscope slides that look at the whole margin. It's as if we're looking up at the specimen. If we see anything in there, we come back, numb it up again, and take a little bit more. 70% of the time we'll get it with the first stage. That, of course, means 30% of the time we have to go back two or three times. Occasionally with very large tumors, which we sometimes will do, it can take all day. Those are ones we really don't look forward to. We hope to get them before that.
So I was fortunate enough. I didn't think it was a 70% chance you could get it the first time because you kept saying you'll be here 8 to 2.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's like, okay, every hour, that means they're going back in four times. But you knew by the mushy stuff, the melon-like, was it watermelon or muskmelon or?
Muskmelon. I look at it as muskmelon.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But the first time you got it, and your nurse Angie came out with Carolyn and I and said, it's clear. And it was like, well, does that mean I'm clear to go back and the doctor's going to talk to me again? Do I need another appointment? What do I need? And so we go on back, and I said, so how are we doing? Are you going to start another procedure? They said, no, we got it the first time. So you were right on track. You were far better than the weather people in this town with all the snow we had. You said 70% chance. You meant 70% chance, and it worked.
Yeah, that's right.
So with the fact that we we talked with Marvin in the previous shows. The big concern is, okay, I'm kind of an ego-driven guy at times, and I don't want a hole sticking out, people putting an earring in it or something else. And Marvin said, don't worry about it. That's where we work together with the plastic surgery associates and with Sanford with the others.
Yeah.
So what am I going to need for mine? If being said I figured out a way to get a shower, get my what little hair I have washed this morning without getting the bandage wet, am I going to need to go see a plastic surgeon, or is that something that we just kind of watch when you come back, take the stitches out next week?
You're probably not. Basically, of course, I'm not a plastic surgeon. I'm a dermatologist, but we learn some of those techniques to close the smaller ones. When we get something where we've got to rebuild an ear or a nose or an eyelid so that it'll function right, then we get the plastic surgeons, their ear, nose, and throat surgeons in to help put things back together. And that they help us with the reconstructive part. But 90% of the time, we can close it either in a simple line because we're dealing, hopefully, with a small wound. We want to get people in early so that these things are small. You know, we don't want to do those all-day things if we can help it.
And usually, it's when we get the phone calls that'll say, you know, we're sending somebody down post-Mohs. And we know that it's going to be big because quite more often than not, the dermatologists can't handle it. They're very skilled at handling those small areas. But when it becomes bigger, it comes to what are called flap transfers. So basically, they're taking a piece of skin and they're relocating it to the area that was removed. And we'll see patients that will have it, you know, we see it a lot more on the forehead seemingly than on the ear. You know, you'll have the areas like for me with a receding hairline, those corners, they seem to hit those areas a lot. And those are those ones we want to really take care of. The dermatologist wants the best possible outcome for that patient. Not only is it the 99% success rate of curing a basal cell carcinoma when they take those margins, but it's also to have that patient heal without major scarification as well. And when that scarring can be reduced through the collaboration with the plastic surgeon is when we come in or the plastic surgeon's over at Sanford. But fortunately, we didn't get that phone call to say, hey, we're sending Bill over real quick. He looks like a cow that had a big chunk taken out of his ear. You know, we're going to try and do it on a very, and you know, that ear, that's difficult because of the thin skin with the cartilage right there as well, because that cartilage is not as vascularized as a lot of the other skin, and it makes it more difficult for that skin graft to adhere there as well.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. I've got my good friend Dr. Shields, who is an inch shorter than I am, which means I'm not looking up at him. But we do have a picture we're going to put on our website with a podcast, which shows that he was smiling and I was very serious about it. But a good friend of mine that has seen you is Jim Lowe. Jim Lowe at Banner Mortgage, who is the mortgage side of what we talk about on the show. He said, well, I had reoccurring. It came back. And not only am I thinking I'm going to have to be carved four times, I'm going to have to do this three times in a year, but that is kind of not the norm. It's something that does happen, but when it does, you need to take care of that as well.
Right. Well, as we all know, there's no perfect procedure for cancer, any kind of cancer for that matter. And generally with Mohs surgery, there's about a 1% recurrence rate, which is pretty good. If you had those odds at Vegas, you should probably go there, Sherry. You know, so, and then the other thing that seems to happen, and I had a guy this week that had three of them on the same ear. That's not the same cancer. It's three different ones. Mm-hmm. And so it's not uncommon for people to get a number of different cancers in the same area. They can recur, too. And if the person's immune system isn't good, they have more trouble. People with the transplants, kidney transplants, heart transplants have a lot more trouble with skin cancer. The ones that are less aggressive tend to be more aggressive in them because the immune system's not working well. People with HIV disease, people with lymphoma, leukemia, they have more trouble. So it also depends on the patient, and also some people have gotten a hell of a lot of sun, especially our farmers.
Yeah, that's one thing that we talk about as well with our farmers. You brought up the sunglasses piece of it. People don't realize that you can have these basal cells occur in a lot of different places. And, you know, you'll see the panguecula that'll form in the eye that can turn into pterygia. This is like that fleshy lump usually you see on the inside part of your eye. That's due to sun. I mean, there's so many things that prevention can take care of, and wearing sunglasses, wearing hats, wearing that sunblock can help us. Our farmers are at some of the greatest risk. You only see more of these conditions, really, than this sunbelt. You only see it around the equator because just the amount of sun that's really hitting us on a daily basis.
Well, I'm pleased that it's over. I almost pulled the plug on it earlier this week. I was looking for any excuse I could find and didn't get it. I thought maybe yesterday morning with the snow and I was sliding in there that maybe Dr. Shields wouldn't get there. I was the last one you saw. I mean, I was there at 7:45. Somehow I got there, and there were four patients waiting to go see you, and I'm the fourth. And I want to know why I was number four. Because I was the smallest?
Probably.
The least risk?
He's the best one. We always save the best for last.
I'm going to have to agree with Dr. Fields on this one.
And Bill, we always say that denial is not a river in Egypt when it comes to skin cancer.
Serious side of this, people that are saying today, it may be a procedure I need to check. It's something that I put off for a year and a half. Shouldn't have. What would you encourage people, both of you, to do as far as if you have something that might be a skin cancer? And maybe it's in your family. My mom had it. As we talked, she's a redhead, still alive at 88 today. My dad, who told me, and I didn't know that he had had an ear surgery because of cancer, and he's 93, that you need to get it checked. Don't put yourself at risk, and regardless of how happy you are that it's Mohs rather than one of the other procedures, get it done.
Well, what I always tell people is one is outside of prevention is just being aware of your body. We shower and we bathe every day. Look at yourself, you know, in the same way that we encourage breast self-exam in women, encourage that skin exam. If there's something that's there, if a mole has changed color, changed shape, has irregular border, if there's just something that looks different, don't hesitate. Don't wait that year and a half. I mean, it's not a construction project that your wife's trying to get you to do. You know, I can say put that off for a year and a half, but don't put your health off for a year and a half. You know, it's just one of those things. Being aware of your own body is going to be one of the most beneficial things that you can do. You found it in a physical, you know, yearly physicals, but just that self-check on a daily basis can be one of the most beneficial things that you can do.
Dr. Shields? Yes.
Well, yeah, I think being aware of your skin, it's the most obvious organ to our eyes, and we don't often look at it. You know, we look at our face quite a bit and put makeup on there. Some of us do anyway. And it's important to, it's really important to keep an eye on ourselves. The American Academy of Dermatology says once a month, take a look at your skin. Use a mirror to look at the places you can't look at. I think people that are married have some advantage. They can have somebody keep an eye on their back, mm-hmm. and you can keep an eye on your spouse's back. And, you know, just because you've found something doesn't, first of all, mean it's cancer. Second of all, doesn't mean that you should put it off, because especially melanoma, if you can get that early, that's when melanomas are cured. Mm-hmm. You know, melanoma is not always a fatal disease. That's the third most common skin cancer and the most dangerous one. Basal cell and squamous cell are a little more slowly growing. Still, if something's not going away and your doc hasn't biopsied yet, encourage them to biopsy it or go see a dermatologist and get it checked.
Well, as I go through this procedure, are you willing to come back and talk again with
sure.
Marvin?
Yeah, this
Sherry?
Was fun. Yeah.
I think it did what we wanted it to. Do you not, Marvin, think the same thing with the audience?
Well, absolutely. You know, we encourage people, one, we know that the listenership of this radio program is enormous. So we're happy to get that piece in there. But the other part of it is just awareness. Again, that awareness piece of it. And for men, we are so bad. We have lethal cancers that are not lethal, should not be lethal. Right. When we talk about prostate cancers, we talk about all these other things. You know, men, we're dumb at times when it comes to our own health. And if we can make people aware of their own health and what they need to do, then we've been highly successful over the last couple of weeks.
Dr. Shields, we appreciate you being with us this morning. I hope I was a decent patient.
You were a great patient, Bill. It was fun to take care of you. In fact, that's the fun part of my job. I get to spend a little more time with a patient than the general dermatologist does because it takes some time and I've got to be there with them. So that's good.
And I authorized him to talk about my case this morning. So if anybody's saying, how did he do that? That was something we talked about. We did it in a way that we hope that helps the audience. We'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you next week and get those stitches out and get this Band-Aid off so I can get a hair wash.
Yeah, call me if you're having trouble, too, okay?
I will.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Marvin and with Sherry. Sherry knew this guy way back, and we're going to have to talk about how she knew him, and maybe she's got a couple of stories that I can share if the little flaps that come out next week are a little slower than they should. We'll talk about that as It Your Business continues. Welcome back to It's Your Business. Dr. David Shields, Sanford Clinic Dermatology, is with us. He did the little Mohs process on me yesterday with the cancer. It was removed. And as we were sitting here, Sherry Kramer, who actually knew Dr. Shields back in when?
Oh, it was a long time ago. I don't know if you were pretty new. I've been a pharmacist. Oh, I don't want to tell you how long I've been a pharmacist, Bill, but it's been like 28 years.
I started in the 90s.
Yeah.
We're going to have to share the
and microphone. I started in 85. So,
85? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
But anyway, long time. We go way back.
All right. Now, you had a question for him about my recovery.
Well, see, everybody I think that listens to us regularly know that I have gotten you on zinc.
And Marvin.
Mm-hmm. And I've talked in the past about the importance of zinc in wound healing and so many things. Fatigue, energy, diabetes, or lack of zinc is like attributing to all those conditions that we're trying to avoid. So in the off time here, I said to Dr. Shields, well, I really want to know if you think Bill heals faster, because you've been taking zinc for about 6 months now, probably.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. And we don't know what your status is now, but it's definitely better than it was when you started. And it's really hard to bring that zinc status up, too. You have to take it, like, forever. So anyway, we were just talking about that off air, so.
So we used to use zinc, and I don't know if it's done anymore, for acne at one time. The problem we had with patients was they would have trouble with their stomach. Do you have a way of dealing with that that helps?
Do you have any? We have solutions. You can take it orally, but I recommend tablets.
Uh-huh. No.
And I think men need more, so it could just be like if you took it with food, you'd probably, you know, avoid some of the stomach stuff. But
so zinc actually can help.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is going to make sure that those whatever you got in my ear.
We should have divided you in half and done one side with the zinc and one without.
Dr. Shields, you're a nice gentleman, but we aren't dividing me in half. I like it a lot better when I have the microphone and you're on the other side. The rev would like to do that. Well, it's nice to have you staying around for another couple of minutes, but the zinc obviously helps. Mm-hmm. It has helped me feel a little better. Probably gave me the courage to admit that I had an ear problem, too. We got to do Fox Business News. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about pharmacy specialty. We'll talk about plastic surgery. And we'll see what else we could talk about Dr. Shields when It's Your Business continues. Welcome back to It's Your Business. We have just about talked my ear off this morning. It's actually still here.
Unintended.
Oh, well, I knew I had to use that someplace. Never had a chance to use it. We do have Craig Markart at Vanna Mortgage we got to check with before we get back to the medical side of it. We're going to check with the senior loan officer. He has his own prescription for us as to what works at Vanna Mortgage. Craig, good to visit with you this morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, I saw South Dakota housing numbers did drop again yesterday.
They did. That's because the mortgage-backed security bond market is improving so much that it has actually affected rates across the board, including South Dakota housings.
So, the loan photo this morning?
Well, the Fannie Mae conventional 30-year fixed rate has dropped down to 4.25% with an APR of 4.443%.
When we got together yesterday, one of the things that you wanted to talk about was tax credit, how important that is.
Yeah, there's a first-time homebuyer tax credit out there that the state of South Dakota has received through the South Dakota Housing Development Authority, and they got that put together with the IRS the middle of last year, and it's such a great program that I believe that that's the best tax credit that any first-time homebuyer has ever had the opportunity to receive.
18-7?
That means that we always have an on-call mortgage banker, and it's Sean Nielsen this week, and he can answer any questions after 5 and on the weekends. And so you can just dial our line at 275-2777, and Sean will pick up and answer any questions and help out with you making offers over the weekend.
All right. Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage, Senior Loan Officer. We appreciate you taking time with us and keeping us in the loop on tax credit and bonds and all those things that are going on, all a part of the loan photo on this Friday.
That's right, Bill. Don't forget, rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions and the specific loan program and individual borrowers' details.
At Vanna Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on.
Thanks, Bill.
You bet. All right, back we are. You three are going to have to. It's my show. I'm sorry. You did the surgery yesterday.
Oh,
now we need to get rolling here. Sherry, you have got a trip that you're doing on February 19th to Vegas, and it's a big deal involving those people with pharmacy. Can you share a little bit with us?
Oh, I would love to, Bill. I'm so excited. I'm sponsoring a leadership retreat. And the reason this came about is I speak monthly with compounding pharmacy owners across the nation. And I had brought in Melanie Brown, who's a local gal. She's a John Maxwell speaker trainer, and she does leadership conferences. And I had her come in, excuse me, and help my whole team at Pharmacy Specialties and Clinic Pharmacies a year ago. Well, this then became of interest to my group that I talked to across the nation. And they said, well, if we're going to have this somewhere, we're not coming to South Dakota. So let's figure it out in Vegas, because almost everybody can fly direct to Vegas.
It's kind of like having a Super Bowl in New Jersey.
Yeah, who would do that?
Who would do that?
Who would think of that?
So anyway, this has evolved, and now I'm offering it to anybody that is listening and would be interested. It's a one-day leadership retreat, and it's on a Wednesday, and I do apologize for that, but we have a big women's conference Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, and a lot of my cohorts are coming in Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so we just extended it. But I'm offering it to people, you know, other leaders that need, just want to become better, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you probably can't get any better than Marvin here, but, you know, sometimes he might have a staff person that could use a little help. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, people would be interested in going to, so.
All right, now how did they reach you?
Well, they could just contact me. I think I'll give my email is Sherry, Cheri, at rxpsi.com. That's on all my business cards, so I'm not really giving you any extra secrets, but yeah.
There you go. There was also a story that I want you to share the importance of this morning that was in USA Today earlier. I think maybe the Argus picked it up this morning.
Well, this is on, it says testosterone therapy doubles heart risk in older men. Now, there's been a lot of hub about this lately. And I think Marvin and I talked about it kind of when I was on the air more regularly. But it's up in the air, because I tend to believe that testosterone therapy only promotes men's health. But we are on the side of this article. We test everybody. So we prove that they are deficient. Now, I know Florida has a bad rap for all the bodybuilding, and, you know, there's clinics that they just start everybody on testosterone, whether they need it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be an issue. All of my men that are doing testosterone therapy have been proven, you know, maybe not hypogonadism that they talk about, but definitely low T. So I'm of the opinion that testosterone is good, and it does not cause...
You know, every time you mention the T word, Marvin then wants to speak next. What is that about?
No, it's because I'm, again, 6'4", 330 pounds, and I have low T. And I guess, you know, at 41 years old, it's one of those things that people should be tested for. But there are side effects to anything like this, especially when they talk about the young kids and steroid. You know, really what people don't realize is that androgel is steroids. So yeah. When we talk steroids, there's a stigma attached to that because it is that supplementation with generally an anabolic steroid, which is sometimes pure testosterone. And androgel is much that same way. So we just want to make sure that we're careful with making sure that you need it, because anytime we take anything that is unnecessary for our system, we can have a backlash health-wise.
All right. We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want you to talk about your homegrown docs, your great-looking website, and any inquiries maybe you've gotten by email that maybe we should address today.
You know, actually, I got an inquiry this morning that was very interesting. It was from one of our former patients that said, I had breast implantation done about 14 years ago. What should I do right now? What is the longevity of it? And I thought it was just a wonderful question, because a lot of times people go into augmentation without thinking of the long-term, maybe, I don't want to say consequences, but the long-term potential for that device that's in their body. And I told her, I said, why don't you call and schedule an appointment? That way we can see where you're at right now, whether you need an MRI to look at it, whether you feel like you've had a burst implant, or whether you want to have some type of replacement. Implant devices are not lifelong, nor are they guaranteed for life, but they do have a guarantee on them from a replacement standpoint, so that if you have a rupture at about 14 years, you know what? The company that put it in is still going to honor that and will actually reimburse you for those implants. I think that's great that she was aware of her health and had questions about her health, so I encourage that. You know, but she did do that through our website. She went through Ask a Doc at PlasticSurgeryAssociatesOfSD.com, and she was able to access that question, whether you want to set up a consultation, and now you can actually pay your bills online through our website. We're very proud of all those things. So very interactive website, and that's how you can connect with the homegrown surgeons of Plastic Surgery Associates, three board-certified plastic surgeons, all from South Dakota, with that Midwest sensibility. And then on August 1st, we're adding Dr. Jill Murphy. Dr. Murphy comes from a small town in Nebraska. She may not be South Dakotan, but she has that same sensibility that we all have. And her husband, Cameron Murphy, are both physicians, so really excited about what we're being able to add to the medical community in Sioux Falls.
Doctor, I want to call you a doctor, because in my mind, you are the doctor of medicine with plastic surgery side. Marvin Smoot, Plastic Surgery Associates of Spencer, Iowa, and
South Dakota.
Dadgone, I always try to catch him on that. Sherry Kramer, who's doing the trip to Vegas.
Yes, and we're south of the tunnel.
Yes.
I
knew that you would try. And then the guy that's got to take my stitches out next week. I'm sorry that.
Can I come to that?
Yeah, you
Shields?
Can come watch. You can. You better ask him though.
Marvin and I want to be there.
We appreciate you guys being here. It's been a good discussion this morning. We appreciate that. This is what we try to do. We'll do this again soon if we can get to everybody's permission to do it. It's just a part of what we try to do with It's Your Business. When we come back, we're going to talk about a service club that said, we're not dying. I don't care what the paper says. They met and they said, Bill, you gave us a license to do something. We'll find out what license I gave them when It's Your Business. Welcome back to It's Your Business. We talked lots of medicine this morning. I still have an ear. It's got a little bandage on it that's bigger than the ear right now. But, you know, they found the cancer. They took care of it. And Dr. Shields, who was here with Marvin Smoot and Sherry Kramer, answered all the questions that we had. But right now, we've been making the rounds with service clubs. They know that they want to be around and make a difference in the future. First one we talked to was the Morning Optimist, then Cosmopolitan. And the third today is Sertoma. I had a chance to visit with the Sertoma Club about the future of service clubs just a couple of weeks ago. And back today is Mr. Doug English. Tom Timmons is not here, but Scott Newman is.
That's right.
Correct? And then you brought the flower guy. Couple of weeks till Valentine's Day. How's he got time to be here talking?
I'm not sure.
Would you like to introduce Chuck?
Go ahead, Chuck.
I'm Chuck Kuntz, with Flowerama. So I can take time anytime. I've got assistance.
Yes, you do. All right, let's talk right now. I came out, I laid it on the line. You guys are like a lot of clubs. You've gone from 200 members to 75 members. But you guys had a meeting yesterday. Doug, you gave me a call last evening just before 6 o'clock. Tell me what came out of it.
Well, we decided that we were going to try to service our members more. When the Sertoma first started, it was called the Cooperative Club, and it was people doing business with people. And so we're going to go back to some of our roots. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have a service networking group. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to meet at the VFW's on the second Wednesday of the month. And we're going to invite everybody and anybody, whether you're a Sertoman or not, to come there, pass out your business cards, and learn more about Sertoma. And we want to learn more about you so we possibly could do business with you. Also, we made it so that our members now are going to be more involved in doing our meetings. So, like, when you came out and talked about your subject, our members are now going to talk about their businesses more. And we're even going to, once a month, go around the room and everybody's going to stand up and we're going to say what type of business we're in and try to give each other leads so that we can be more productive and that type of stuff.
Scott Newman and Chuck with us this morning as well. Scott, you're a little younger than these other two guys, okay? Just assuming.
Yep.
But why are you part of a service club?
I want to be able to give back to the community. I want to be able to, you know, be part of Sioux Falls and be, you know, it's a great way to meet people. I get to meet some of these older guys that have been, you know, part of this town forever. And they've been able to, you know, you get to draw from their experiences and their connections with the people they know is, you know, they know everybody in town. So just build off of that and, you know, help give back and plus be able to network and learn to meet more people. So.
The Business Journal story was right on track. Service clubs have lost some traction to lead group. They've lost it to BNI. They've lost it to SME. They've lost it to the YPN group, which has now got 800 members. They're doing some things with business that a lot of service clubs that I've been around are now not wanting their members to talk about business. You've just addressed that.
Exactly. We want to, you got to bring some of that back in. I mean, you want to give back to the community, but it's also got to benefit you. It takes a lot of time to be part of these service clubs. And, you know, it takes away from your business, which, you know, affects the bottom line, you know, and which is we're all in this to be profitable and make some money. So the only way you got to kind of put that back in the club and bring that back out. So,
Chuck, let me take it to you right now, because at one time you had a bingo hall. That's no longer a part of it. You've got the Sertoma Butterfly House, which is still a process. You do some other things as well. But the fear that I have, having just come into service clubs in 1997, finally somebody asked me when I was 49 years of age to join a service club. They figured I was too busy. But sometimes it's your busy people that will get out and make a difference. Is that if the service clubs aren't doing those projects, who's going to do them in the community in the next generation?
Well, it's going to have to be the service clubs, and we're going to have to step up. Like, you know, our Sertoma Club stands for Service to Mankind. And this club started here in Sioux Falls in 1929, and over the years has never said no to any worthy organization, and donated well over $4 million over the years. Even during the Depression, they gave out food baskets to the needy families. When times were tough, the members found a way to donate. And a young family that where their child might have a disability or say a hearing need and needs hearing aids, Sioux Falls New and Sertoma Club steps up and helps them. And we've done that many, many, many times. And so we are the definition of service to mankind.
One of the things that I've noticed with a lot of clubs today, people sit in the same seat every week. They write checks. And my wife went out to help with a project this week, and the guy met her at the door and says, "We don't drink, dance, or gamble anymore, and we don't want to talk to you." And it was like, maybe that's one of the things that's wrong today. That people are putting their hand up. They're saying, that's not what we believe. All the members don't believe everything, you know, and not to have a chance to visit with them. But it's one of the things that we want to make sure that we're doing. And Jody Schwann is going to want to talk with you guys about the project that you're making, the change that you're making, Doug, in the future. So would you be willing to talk with her? And the other thing that was brought up is, well, we try to get our announcements in the paper, but they tell us they won't give us a space. We got to buy an ad. It used to be service clubs got some ink, and right now, with what our good friends at the Business Journal are doing, they're going to have more space. And maybe if we work with them a little harder, we can share some of those service projects that do bring positive to the community.
Well, I appreciate that, and we'd love to be associated with the Argus Leader. We have awards that we give out to service people within our club and outside our club. Plus, we provide stuff like the hearing loop down at the pavilion so that people with hearing aids can hear the product that they're producing on the stage. And we also do hearing testing in all the schools so that all the school kids make sure that they're hearing so they can hear the teachers and things like that. And we're just out there hoping that the Argus Leader has a little bit of space for us to promote what we're doing.
Well, you are the third of six clubs we're going to talk to. I have spoken to your club. I'm scheduled to speak now to the Cosmopolitan Club and to get back with the Optimist. My idea is we need to talk about this. Don't sit there and have members leave and say we didn't even look at it. The fact that if you are a service club and you think that you ought to be one of those other three clubs, email me. bill.zortman@mwcradio.com, or if you can't remember that, just remember 728-BILL is the phone number. Much like I did with you, Doug, and your club, I think we've made a difference.
Well, I appreciate everything you've done for us, Bill.
And we'll keep an eye on you, and I'd like to come back out, and maybe one of your business meetings, we'll see what we can do. Scott, Chuck, Doug, thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, Russ Hoopendick, directionalmotivation.com. You're one of these guys that goes out and speaks to service clubs about jobs. Maybe they'll have you out one of these days. How you doing, Russ?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I do speak to the service clubs. In fact, this week I'll be speaking to the Cosmopolitan Club this coming week.
All right. We are going to start talking about success stories nationwide. You've been doing a lot of that. You're an executive recruiter. And you've been able to help people, whether they're military, the agriculture side, or just those underemployed, to find good things that work. So tell us how that's working.
Well, it's actually working very well. And we had an individual yesterday that interviewed with a Fortune 500 company. They came back and got an email yesterday afternoon that said they loved him and we're going to be moving forward, and that's going to go to an offer standpoint. And this morning I had another veteran interview with the another organization, and he did very well. They're going to be bringing him into the corporate as well. And so we've got a number of veterans that are in the interview process right now, and we're always looking for more veterans. We'd love to help them.
And we are going to start sharing some of those one a week starting with February. That's going to make a difference. You are an executive recruiter, no charge. You've been talking to people around the country. And one of the things that we think we can do is make a difference with lives, with jobs.
Yeah, we really do. It's very rewarding to hear the stories coming back from the people that we've worked with and the lives that we have changed, and we want to do that for others. So all I have to do is reach out and give us a call.
Deployment to employment. People ought to be putting their business on that book so that people know that they're supporting, helping those that have been military, helping those that need to find a job.
Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, I've gotten seven emails back from veterans that have read the book, and several of those were sponsored. They talked about the sponsorship. They thought that was absolutely cool that businesses would take and put their information in the front of the book and trying to make a difference for the veteran community. So they're very, very appreciative of it.
Russ, how do people reach you?
Sure, they can contact us on our website, which is clientstaffingsolutions.com. Or they can go ahead and give me a call directly at 605-362-8176, extension 101.
All right. We will talk to you next week.
Okay. Sounds good, Bill.
We thank Dr. Shields for taking part of the year and then talking about it, maybe helping some other people with skin cancer. My time's up. Thank you for yours.
News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.